Following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccounts. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, President and CEO of Friedman Financial. Hope you're having a wonderful Sunday morning. It is 8 o'clock and it's time once again for another episode of Dollars and Cents, financial advice in a language you can understand, presented by myself, Mark Friedman, yours truly, and also joining me today in studio, our Director of Financial Planning, Christian Karcher. Christian, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. Good morning, Mark.
Thank you for waking up early again on a Sunday morning. Hey, you're in a new place, aren't you?
I am. My wife and I just purchased a place in Charlestown. We've been moving in slowly but surely, getting all the cleaning done, and we're really excited.
Well, it's a new phase in your life, and everyone goes through different phases in their life. And one of the phases we're going to talk about today is preparing for that phase to transition from working life to retirement life. And we got a whole bunch of things to talk about today. Christian, I know you put together a list of questions that you thought we'd propose. Why don't you tell us, everybody, about what you were thinking about doing as we prepared for this meeting today, or this session today.
Absolutely. I mean, so when we speak with people who are planning on retiring soon or have just retired, you know, they all have the same questions. And a lot of times those questions are, you know, can I retire right now? Do I have the resources to retire? Everyone kind of knows, okay, I've got to make a decision about Social Security at some point. But what I wanted to pick out was the questions that we realize clients don't know to ask, and what people don't ask before retiring, that really once they retire, they look back and go, oh man, I should have known the answer to this before we started the whole process.
Yeah, I always find it interesting when we sit down, someone comes to the office, they're approaching retirement or they're just entering retirement. And one of the questions I ask, you know, why are you here? That's one of the questions we ask. And the other is what are you hoping to do in retirement? And generally, the number one answer is travel, right?
I mean, that's
travel. I said, all right, well, what does travel look like? And we can get answers that range anywhere from, well, I've never left the state of Massachusetts, and I'm hoping to visit New York and the Carolinas, to I want to travel around the world, and everything in between.
Absolutely.
And believe it or not, folks, people do have all sorts of visions of what travel looks like. Sometimes the greatest trip that some people will travel on is a cruise up the Mississippi River, or a bus trip to the national parks, or a private jet flight all around the world. It can be anything and everything. So just to say, I want to travel in retirement, we need to contextualize that a little bit and add everything else in.
Well, and on top of that travel, you know, your location is what, your destination is one part of travel, but the other part is how do you want to travel? Do you want to travel with family? We've got clients who love to go down to Disney and take the whole family, the kids, the grandkids, if they can get everyone on board with
it. That's always a challenge, yep.
But, you know, that's one way of traveling. Another way of traveling is just with you and your spouse or just you alone. But then we also have a lot of clients who say, you know, I'm going to get with a bunch of my friends. I'm going to go with four or five different couples, and we're all going to decide on a place to go, and we want to travel together. But knowing that and saying, okay, maybe we do want to travel more than just me and my spouse. Well, you better have some other friends who are also in the similar stage of life who also want to do that traveling. So that's another conversation that we say, well, maybe you have that conversation with your friends and say, you're retiring this year, I'm retiring next year. Maybe we can do a trip together.
Yeah, just because, though, you might be in the similar stage of life of retirement, what a travel experience looks like for you and what a travel experience looks like for others are very different things.
Oh, yeah. You get used to traveling a very specific set of ways. I mean, I've had to learn that with my wife because when I was growing up traveling, we did maybe one trip a year, and it was always a very stressful trip. And it always ended up being like spring break, the busiest time. We had one time we were flying out of Milwaukee and we were trying to get to, I think we were trying to go out west to the Grand Canyon. And we ended up getting rerouted. We had to go to Seattle, spend a night in Seattle. Either way, Jessica's family, on the other hand, her dad always traveled for work. And so they are get to the airport, jump on the plane. No sitting in between. My family is a get there 5 hours early and sit around the airport, enjoy the airport for a while, and then get on the plane.
Well,
kind of thing.
I wouldn't actually call it enjoying the airport.
It's I enjoy the airport. Do you,
I mean, it's getting there stress free. I mean, I'm like Jessica's family. I mean, we plan when I have a flight out of Logan to go anywhere. It's like, all right, if they're boarding, you know, if boarding is at 9 o'clock, I want to be there at 8:30. Because that's all I need. I figure if I get TSA pre, I can fly through the line, and 99% of the time it works out. Okay, yes, there are some times when it doesn't work. But the other thing about travel that's kind of interesting is, you know, while we've been working, many people were very careful with how they would spend their travel budget.
Right.
You know, you would find you'd find the cheapest flight you could find to get to London or the cheapest flight to California. And so that might mean making a stop or two along the way. But what if in retirement you said, you know what, I want to avoid that. I don't want to do the AAA flight experience or the hotels.com flight experience. I want to upgrade my experience. I'm going to go find a direct flight, pay a little bit more, pay for the extra legroom or even business class. Stay in a hotel that isn't the cheapest on TripAdvisor.com or at the Marriott.com and really try to immerse myself in the culture. Is that something you want to do? So as we begin to think about questions that retirees are forgetting to ask as they think about retirement, it's our job to try to add some color, to add some texture to what it is that they're going to look like. So today, during our show of Dollars and Cents, which we do each and every Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m., Christian and I are going to try to have a dialogue around some of the lessons and stories and things that we've heard from clients that's led by a few questions that Christian has actually captured here. And we're going to tell you some stories and allow you to think about that. But in the meantime, as you're getting ready for what we're going to share, if you have not yet signed up for our newsletter, it comes out every single Friday, 10:30 a.m. every Friday, lands in your inbox. If you'd like to get it, go to our website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman. To ease in a D, financial.com, go to the bottom of any page on the website, and sure enough, you'll be able to put in your name and your email address, and the upcoming Friday, you will get our new newsletter for the week. We've been doing this for more than 10 years, and lots of great financial advice in a language you can understand. So, Christian, I'm going to turn it over to you. Why don't you lead this, find a question that retirees ask, and let's kind of talk about it.
Well, so I'm going to kind of move on. It's kind of like the vacation question, but it's a more location question. Where do you want to live in retirement? We run into a lot of people who say, you know, I want to go, I want to buy a place in Florida and spend the winters down there, or Arizona, or somewhere warmer. And so one of the questions is, where do you want to live in retirement? And how do you decide where you're going to live when you decide that is something you want to do?
Yeah, there are so many parts to that question. It first starts with, do I want to buy a place or do I want to rent a place?
Mm-hmm.
Many people say, well, I'd hate to throw money out the window. Why would I rent a place? Maybe I should buy a place. But I could argue both sides of that easily.
Yeah.
And you have to do what's right for you. I mean, think about this. If you're going to rent a place, maybe it's for January to April because in Florida, because that's the key time to be there. Well, prepare to pay the highest possible rates for the course of the year to live there. However, on May 1st, what are you responsible for down in Florida? Nothing. If you buy a place in Florida and you choose to have a place that you are going to stay down there maybe January through April, what are you going to do in the summer months with your permanent residence? You got to run the air conditioning. Someone's got to take care of the pool. It's going to get humid. Lots of things to consider. What else do we think about when you travel down there?
Well, the other thing that I think about is, you know, you retire, you don't have any more income coming in that is earned income, and you say, I want to buy a place in Florida. And you say, well, when I bought my place here in Massachusetts, I went to the mortgage broker, I got a mortgage, and I put some money down, put in an offer on the house. Well, all of a sudden, that gets a little bit more complicated, doesn't it, Mark, when you don't have an actual earned income coming in?
Yeah, sure it does. I mean, if you don't have an earned income and you were hoping to get a mortgage, getting one's a little more difficult because now you're a retiree and you don't have a guaranteed income stream coming in, or I shouldn't say guaranteed income stream, but an income that is certain because of employment income. You're relying perhaps on your Social Security check, maybe a distribution from your retirement account, but that could go up or down if the market fluctuates. If you don't have employment income, does the bank want to take the risk on a mortgage for you? Very fair question, when you think about that. And, you know, one of the things that I've also seen with retirees is many people say, well, I want to go down to Florida. You know, I'll keep my place up here. I'll keep a small place up here, go down to Florida. That way the kids and the grandkids will all visit. And what we have learned over the past 10 to 15 years, or even more than that, folks, the kids don't visit. They just don't have the time to come and visit, and nor do they want to visit the way you want them to visit. You want the grandkids to come down so you can take them out for dinner, you can show them off at the pool, introduce them to all your friends, and show them how brilliant your grandchildren are because, you know, you've been showing them pictures of the play that they were in, or the dance recital, or the karate. The people down there really don't care, and the kids don't want to really show off. They want to go to Disney World. They want to go to the beach. They don't want to hang around at your pool and not make noise and kick and splash and all that kind of stuff. So it's one of the things that many of our retirees have learned, that it's not what the kids want to do. And you know what we end up seeing? I've been seeing this happen a ton over the past 5 years or so. People that have moved down to Florida, in fact, we just had one this week, sold their place in Florida. They're coming back home. And why are they coming home, Christian?
Because they want to spend more time with the kids and the grandkids.
And the kids aren't visiting. They're not coming to Florida. Right. They want to go up there. They want to see him play baseball. They want to see the dance recitals. They don't want to just... The kids aren't interested in FaceTiming with you all the time. You want to be there? Fine. Come and join them. But asking them to change their schedule is far more difficult than you changing your schedule. They're more busy. The other thing is medical care. Think about this. There was a group called AgeWave. The Age Lab that's out of MIT. And they ask three very important questions about people who are looking to relocate to a spot. And they said, question number one, when you're looking for a place, a new place to move to, where is the closest hospital? How easily will you be able to get medical care? Fair question. I mean, here in New England, we know that medical care, certainly where we live up here, very easy to access, and we have really good medical care. Where will the closest hospital be? How long does it take for an ambulance to get to you? And those are things. And if you don't have family around, you've fallen and you can't get up, how are you making those phone calls to let people know to come and get you?
Right. Absolutely.
Secondarily, who will you call to change a light bulb? Let's say the light bulb breaks, the toilet clogs up, the sink is overflowing, there's a leak from your washing machine. Who are you calling? Who will you, when you move to a new location, will you be given the list of service professionals that you can rely on to show up when you need them? Here, you know everybody, right? Or you can call someone that knows everybody. You move to a new location, are you prepared to call? And thirdly, when you move on your own, who will you get an ice cream with? That's the third question.
That is a very important question. Or in my world, a frozen custard with.
Well, yeah, because you're a Culver's guy.
That is the one positive. They have Culver's in Florida. There's enough people from the Midwest down there that they have Culver's in Florida.
But, you know, we move down with our spouse. We move down to Florida with a spouse, perhaps. And then at some point, one of the spouses aren't around anymore. And it can get lonely.
Yeah.
And where will you go for an ice cream? Who will you go for dinner with? Will you go food shopping by yourself? It can be lonely. Mm-hmm. Are you prepared for that? Will the kids come and visit when you're alone? It's a lot easier for you, solo person, to hop on a plane and come on back. So today we're asking questions that retirees forget to ask as they begin to think about that next stage in their life. We all begin to plan for retirement. We think about what life will be when we're no longer working. But it's not just about the money. The money is one slice in the pie. We got to deal with the financial planning stuff. And that's what we're really good at, along with managing money, at Friedman Financial. We got to take a quick break. When we're back, Christian Karcher, my director of financial planning, and myself will be here again to answer your questions that retirees are forgetting to ask, trying to give you some answers. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hi, this is Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial. With all that's gone on over the past couple years, perhaps retirement is sounding pretty good. But how can you focus on the future when you're so busy juggling the day-to-day? It's time for a real plan, a plan you can define, a plan you can track, and a plan you can modify as things change. At Friedman Financial, that's what we do. We know that planning for your retirement can be overwhelming, but with more than 50 years of experience, we know what you're going through. We're experienced and we're fiduciaries. We listen and we collaborate with your best interests in mind. You don't have to do this alone anymore. Turn to us for answers to your why, how, and what if questions. If now is the time to get serious about your retirement, please give us a call. We're Friedman Financial of Peabody. Financial advice in a language you can understand.
Visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com.
Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA, and SIPC. It's not about the money, money,
money. We don't need your money, money, money. Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, President and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Located right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Daniela's Ristorante at 41 Cross Street in Peabody. Hope you're all doing well. I am joined by our Director of Financial Planning today, Christian Karcher. Good morning, Christian.
Good morning, Mark.
And today we are asking or answering questions that retirees forget to ask. Why are we doing that, Christian?
Well, because we have run into a lot of situations where, you know, our job is to really help people have the retirement that they want. And a lot of times we run into people who aren't quite sure what that retirement actually looks like. And so we don't want them to get into retirement and say, oh boy, I don't know what I want. We want to think through this so that they can kind of hit the ground running and, you know, have the retirement that they always wanted.
There you go. So in the last session, we talked about questions that retirees should be thinking about if they're perhaps considering a relocation to another state. Maybe it's down in Florida, living half the time in Florida, half the time here. Maybe they want to rent a place. We addressed all of that. And if you miss that, you can certainly sign up for our podcast. You can find those on Apple Tunes. What do we call this? What's it called now?
Apple Podcasts.
Apple Podcasts. I don't even know. But all of your familiar podcasts, you can find it on. Search for Friedman Financial. That's the easiest way to do it. And you'll also find Dollars and Cents. There's lots of Dollars and Cents podcasts. But if you look under Friedman Financial, you'll easily find it. So, Kristen, what's the next question we want to ask?
So another question that a lot of people, you know, it's mind-boggling that it isn't a question that's asked, but a lot of times it's not, and people haven't really thought it through. So when you're working, you've got, including your commute, 40, 50, maybe even 60-plus hours a week that is accounted for. These are the hours I'm working and commuting. All of a sudden, you retire, and those hours are free and empty. So the question is, what am I going to do with all of that time? What am I going to do with a full-time job's worth of time each week?
And do you think the spouse wants to spend all of it with you?
Because they don't. And that's the important thing. You know, a lot of times when you're working 40, 50 hours a week, you get home and you say, okay, well, I need to spend time with my spouse. I need to spend time with my kids because this is the time I have. That 3 or 4 hours after work, during dinner, and before bed, and then oftentimes you're gone in the morning before other people are waking up or around the same time. And so all of those hours you now have, and you can say, well, I could spend them all with my spouse and my kids, but eventually you're going to get grading on one another, and you have to say, okay, so what am I going to do with my time? What are my hobbies? Or do I want to continue to work and do something that I'm really passionate about? Maybe I do earn some income, but it's really something that I'm doing because I want to do it, not because I have to do it.
I remember going down to Naples, Florida. My Uncle Jordan, it's my mother's brother, had just retired. He bought a place in Bonita Springs. This is far before Bonita Springs was a popular area. He was right on the Intercoastal, bought a nice house there. And I went down to visit him. I was there for a couple days. And he was a year or two into retirement. And so I said, Uncle Jordy, he's now Jordan, but I used to call him Uncle Jordy. What do you do all day? He says, I've been thinking about this. So we get up in the morning and we think about, what are we going to have for breakfast? And then as we're sitting around the table having breakfast, we think, what are we going to have for lunch? And as we're sitting having lunch, we think, what are we going to do for dinner? And he says, we realize that this can't be our entire life in retirement. We're just going to get fat and old if that's all we do.
To eat really well.
You do eat really well, but you have to have more things going on than deciding what we're going to eat for each meal. And that can't be the primary topic of conversation every 3 or 4 hours. So you need to be thinking about something. So what are some of the things that retirees might want to think about?
Well, so we have a lot of retirees who, you know, they retire from a high-stress job and they take 6 months, 9 months off and they realize, you know, it's been really nice to have this relaxing time where I haven't had to work. But, you know, I need some sort of structure in my life. I've had structure for the last 40 years while I've been working. I want some sort of structure. And a lot of people have found it really satisfying to find somewhere where they can volunteer, whether that's your local school or library or hospital. Going in and just having something to do for 2 or 3 hours, 3 days a week can be really good for getting you out of the house, having some sort of social interaction outside of your spouse so your spouse can kind of kick you out the door and say, go volunteer instead of hanging around here and talking to me about what we're going to have for dinner. So that's one option that's really great.
Yeah, you know, we see a lot of people, beside, you know, when they leave their job, they say, I love when people say, well, I'm planning to retire at 67 years old or 65 or whatever. And so when we're doing our financial planning analyses, we put together a retirement projection that assumes no more work after the day they retire. And many of them say, wait, I'm planning to retire, but I'm not going to stop working completely. People are far healthier in their 60s and 70s and they want to do something. And so when you're starting to think about retirement and retiring from your job, your current career, does that mean stop work completely? Perhaps work part-time for a while, do some consulting work, just do something to stay busy. We have one client who certainly doesn't need the money, but he loves interacting with people. And you know what he does? He bags groceries at the local supermarket. And is he worried about people thinking, oh my goodness, look at him, he's in his 70s, he has to work and bag groceries just to support himself in retirement? Not the case at all. It's so easy how we go to judge what we think people's financial situation is because they're doing some simple, mindless, realistically, task. But he loves it. All he wants to do is go to work, have his job, put stuff in bags, talk to people, be courteous, do it well, and go home. That's something that you're not able to do oftentimes in a career. Your head is in the job all the time.
Right, absolutely. You're constantly thinking about, okay, what do I have to do tomorrow? You're getting emails on your phone. I mean, especially nowadays, you've got all of your work emails on your phone and you're checking them constantly. You're getting little buzzes. Some people even have their own work phones that they keep with them at all times. My wife walks around with two phones. One is her personal phone, one is her work phone.
It's crazy.
And that thing's going off all weekend. And just having something like that, you're right, is just really relaxing. When I got my first job in high school, I was working at a place called Shopko, which for those of you out here on the East Coast, that is essentially, it's now defunct, but it was a kind of lower quality, imagine like Target meets Walmart and get rid of all the grocery stuff. That's Shopko. And one of my coworkers was a retired guy, and all he did was he would work the same 4 or 5 hour shifts that the high schoolers would. So it would be 5 to 9 or 4 to 9. And we would straighten the shelves in the store. We would go around and pull everything to the front, make it look pretty. We'd clean stuff. We'd get products for people as they asked for them. And he loved it. It was the same situation as our client. And it is something that really helps people. You know, it takes up time, it provides structure, and it's a good way of getting out of the house and doing something.
Yeah, because one of the things that I see, if you go around to restaurants, and look, restaurants all around town are quite busy, and there are plenty of people who are retired that you will see at restaurants. It amazes me how many couples I see going out for dinner and they sit there. They're both together, and they're both on their phones. They got nothing to talk to. They got nothing to talk about, I mean.
Yeah.
And I just find it fascinating how we have been sucked in by our phones as well. We have to find things to do. I mean, look, the past 2.5 years, we've been stuck in our house.
Yeah.
Now you can get out of the house. So get out of the house. Go do things. And so we go out to eat. You know, but, you know, there's so many great shows on Netflix, I guess, that that's what people want to do these days. But
yeah.
So, all right, let's change it up. Another topic that retirees are forgetting to ask talks about how will I spend, am I going to plan on spending money the same way I am today? What do you think happens there, Christian?
Well, so if you, what really happens or what people talk about happening? Because if you go online and you Google, you know, how much am I going to spend in retirement? And you just Google that. Almost everywhere says your spending will go down to about 80% of what you're currently spending. And what we have realized is in 95% of the situations that we work with in our office, where the people have the means to continue to spend at their current level, they're going to continue to spend at that current level when they retire and maybe even spend a little bit more because they'll be able to do that traveling that we talked about, or they'll have a second place in Florida. So what we often say is, the first 5, 10, 15 years in retirement, you're going to keep spending at your current level or higher. And that's what you should plan on if you're transitioning into retirement.
Yeah, I mean, your life is going to be a little bit different if you're not having, you know, people think, oh, I'll save so much money by not having to commute into work or have to buy lunch when I go into work and buy new business clothes and all that kind of stuff. There's new expenses that will come up. You're going to have your grandkids that
well,
you want
that's
to
that's the big one.
The
right?
grandkids are the big ones. You want to help your kids because for some reason, what's crazy these days is the kids are making more money than you ever made, yet they simply can't figure out how to cover all their expenses with the money that's coming into the house. So you got to help them. Does that make sense? But, you know, hey, if you can do it, you can do it. But what we're finding more often than not, and this is really surprising to so many people, is that in retirement, many people don't realize that they could actually spend more than what they have been spending in the past without doing any damage to their ability to meet their goals for the rest of their lives. And a lot of that spending happens, like you said, Christian, in the first 5, 10, or 15 years.
Absolutely.
Because after a while, yeah, we age, we slow down, we don't spend money. And then people said, oh my goodness, what about healthcare? What about the healthcare cost? You're right. Healthcare can be expensive. But if you have the resources to live a better lifestyle in the next 5, 10, or 15 years and still have that ability to support yourself for the rest of your life, I wouldn't worry so much about the healthcare expense. It's just another expense. You know, one of the things that Fidelity is famous for is putting out this report that says once you retire, you should plan, you and your the couple should plan on spending close to $250,000 a year, $250,000 cumulatively on healthcare costs. Well, that $250,000 number seems huge, but at 65, take that number and say, well, you're going to live till 85, 20 years. Divide 250 by 20 years, and what do you get? A little 10, 11,000, 12,000 maybe? It's not that much money. You might say, oh, that's a lot of money. It's really not.
The problem is when it gets backloaded. And this is, you know, it's hard to project these things out because most of those medical expenses will come in the last 4 or 5 years of your life. Whenever that 4 or 5 years is, it's as you're deteriorating or as you're aging, those expenses begin to grow as you run into various issues. But early on in your 60s and 70s, oftentimes, if you're a rather healthy individual, you stay active, you might have some medical costs, but it will be nowhere near the prorated amount of that $250,000. Much of that gets backloaded to later on.
Right, and some of it is the long-term care and nursing home costs. That can be certainly costly. And I will tell you, yes, it's costly here in Massachusetts. It's costly around the country. But if you compare what nursing home costs are in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, compared to what they are here in Peabody, Massachusetts or Boston, Massachusetts, pretty vast difference.
Absolutely.
All right. We got to take a quick break. We are up against the clock again, but more questions to talk to you about. Before we take a break, though, I want to remind you again about our free weekly newsletter. go to FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, to ease into D, Financial.com. You'll sign up for Planning Pointers. It comes out each and every Friday, 10:30 in the morning. Go to the bottom of any page on our website, put in your name and your email address, and this Friday you'll be signed up to receive our free newsletter. You will be joined with with 7,000 other people, subscribers, who sign up, and I think you'll really enjoy it. We're going to take a quick break. When we're back, more financial advice in a language you can understand. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here Sundays from 8 to 9 a.m. Let's face it, your retirement will be nothing like your parents. Your life won't be based on a fixed income, and instead, in today's world, it will be up to you to make tax-smart decisions on your 401k, your IRAs, and the rest of your investment portfolio. And it's all with a goal of using this money to support your spending needs for the rest of your life. This is serious business, and at Friedman Financial, we can help. With more than 50 years of experience serving this local community, we deliver financial advice in a language you can understand. Visit us at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, to ease and a D, Financial.com. Let's make your retirement all that you've dreamed it could be.
Visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, to ease and a D, Financial.com.
Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA, and SIPC.
Money, 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 money. From that money machine.
Good morning and welcome back to Dollars and Cents on North Shore 104.9. I am Christian Karcher. I'm the Director of Financial Planning at Friedman Financial. I'm here with Mark Friedman this morning, your usual host. And we are talking about questions that retirees forget to ask as they enter retirement. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm doing all right. Hey, nice job with the introduction.
Thank you. I've been practicing a little bit.
We're prepping you up. You're doing great. Maybe you'll have a show of your own one day.
Maybe. You'll give me the reins.
I'll give you the reins. You can do the show too. So what were we talking about again? I was daydreaming this morning. I was drinking my coffee.
We're talking about questions that retirees forget to ask before they retire. And so one of those questions, Mark,
is... You know, I was just thinking as you were bringing that up, questions retirees forget to ask. The problem is retirees, and myself too, get a little older. Mm. We forget a lot of things.
Ah, well, yeah, that is absolutely true. That's okay. I forget things too, and I'm turning 28 tomorrow. So
that's right. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
So my father always used to refer to this as he was getting older. He used to call it fallout. That was his said. He says, there's only so much room that your brain can comprehend, that if you want to learn something new, something in your brain has to fall out to make room for the new stuff.
It's like the hat conundrum.
What's that?
Oh, so my dad used to collect hats growing up, and so he had maybe 100 different baseball hats in the front hall closet. And when I was about 10 years old, my mom finally put her foot down and said, okay, every time you buy a new hat, because he would buy one everywhere we went, every vacation... You got to get rid of one. And so it was the fallout of the brain.
I say the same thing to Laura about shoes, and she just laughs at me. It just drives me nuts. Anyways, we're talking about questions that retirees are forgetting to ask. Christian, what's the next question that they're forgetting to ask?
So this one gets a little bit more technical, but people say, you know, we just talked about spending. If I'm going to spend the same amount, well, then I'm going to need the same amount of gross income as I was making at my job. And so the question becomes, what is my tax rate going to be in retirement? And a lot of people will go, okay, well, my current tax rate, I'm in the 22% tax, or the 24% tax bracket. I'm going to expect to pay 24% in federal taxes and 5% in state taxes. So I'm going to have to pay like 30% in taxes.
Yeah, it's amazing how often the tax question is misunderstood by retirees. I used to joke that we used to joke with the fact that people would come to us and they say, I need $100,000 in income in retirement. And I'd say, well, how'd you come up with $100,000? They said, well, if I pay 28% in taxes, that gets me down to $72,000, and I figure I'll be spending $6,000 a year. $6,000 a month, I'm sorry. And I said, that's interesting, but I think we need to rethink this. And So even on our questionnaire these days, we no longer ask, how much do you think you need in retirement? We ask the question, how much do you intend to spend after taxes in retirement? Because the tax rate that you've been paying through your paycheck and all of the other things is going to dramatically change, even though you may be spending the same amount of money.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, number one right off the top is Social Security and Medicare tax. You're retired now. You're collecting on your Social Security, and you're getting the benefit of Medicare now.
So how much of a savings is that?
Well, so...
It's about 7.25%.
Yeah.
I stumped him. See, Christian always has all the facts in front of him, but because he's in the studio today, he doesn't have his cheat sheet. So, right? So I got you. But it's I'm not even exact. It's like 7.25% or so is about the percent, because there's the part that is for there's the FICA tax.
Yes.
Right? So we have a FICA tax that's withheld from our paycheck, plus there's a tax that goes to Medicare. Collectively, it's about 7.25%. I think maybe 7.6, something. It's in the sevens. But he's questioning me. You don't think I'm right.
You know what? I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, so I'm not going to call you out on it.
Well, but it's about 7.
Fact check that one at home.
We're going to check that one later. But it's around 7%, and so that's money that you're not having to pay in.
Yep.
What other things do you have withheld from your pay stub?
Well, I mean, just on your pay stub, you've got all of your 401k contributions. People kind of forget, I've been contributing to the 401k. That's in the same vein as the Social Security. You're no longer contributing to that. Now you're collecting on that.
Right. So if you had $100,000 in income and you were putting 10% of your pay into the 401k plan, you were starting at $90,000.
Absolutely.
Okay. But now if you're not putting money into the 401k plan because you're retired, you're starting at $100,000.
Yep. There's also all the other deductions for, you know, group life insurance, disability insurance,
UNICEF,
union dues, whatever
it could be that you might have. They all add up. So it is fascinating. We have this really, really cool tax software that we run for our clients. Maybe you can explain what this does, Christian.
Yeah. So it's a really cool software where we can input someone's tax return after the year. So we've had a bunch of clients in the last weeks or so as tax time is finished and they've sent off their returns to us, where we put it into the software. And what we can do is we can look at it and say, okay, so how does the next $1,000 impact your tax rate? And we can see all the different cutoffs and how much income you can earn to stay in a tax bracket.
So you just said something that I want you to maybe help people understand.
Mm-hmm.
You said how it changes with the next dollar or something. Yep. You're talking about what we call marginal tax rates, right?
That's right. So if you're in the 24% tax bracket, that doesn't mean you're paying 24% on all of your income. The first,
The first portion
of money gets taxed at 0%. And then it gets taxed at 10% for a little bit, and then 12%. And so once you get up to $100,000 of income, now you're being taxed. Each dollar gets taxed at the 22% or the 24%.
But it doesn't go retroactive.
Retroactive to those first dollars. And so that's very important to factor in. So you're really not looking at a 24% tax rate. The real effective tax rate might be something closer to 15 or 16%.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. For our clients that are spending, let's say, between $5,000 and $10,000 a month in retirement.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's a little bit different with how they spend their money. When we do this tax planning projection, it's very common for us to see a effective tax rate of somewhere between 10 and 17%
yes.
on people's federal taxes. And people say, I'm only in the 12 or 13% tax bracket. Well, no, you might be in a higher tax bracket, but when we add up the portion that you don't pay any tax on, the portion that you pay a little bit of tax on, the portion that you pay a little bit more tax, you put it down to an average, you're like in an average of what's called an effective tax rate, sometimes between 10 and 17%. And that's a lot lower than you ever imagined.
Right. The other thing that people never really think about is when you start collecting that Social Security check, it's not 100% taxable as income. So most people, if you're collecting other sources of income, only 85% of your Social Security will actually be taxable. So you get a little bit of a tax break there too. So all those things added up, your tax rate is very likely going to be lower in retirement than you would first imagine it being or take for granted that that is your tax rate.
Yeah, I oftentimes find it interesting that many people have a lot of cash that they've built up over time at the bank. And they say, well, for the first year in retirement, I'm just going to get my Social Security check and I will spend down some of the cash that I have in the bank and not touch my IRA money, not touch my retirement money. And folks, that can be a huge mistake.
Absolutely.
Because, and you might say, Mark, why would that be a huge mistake? You don't want to touch your retirement money. Yeah, but there is a portion, because when you, let's say you're getting $25,000 a year in Social Security. Oh. And then you want to take another $30,000 a year out from the bank. Well, that's $55,000. How much tax will you pay on that $55,000 income? Zero. Absolutely nothing. Because the money that you take from the bank, that's free. And if your only income is $25,000 from Social Security, you're going to be in a level that creates no tax.
Right. You might not even be taking full advantage of the standard deduction on your tax return, which essentially deducts money from your income. And if you don't take full advantage of that, you're essentially
giving away money.
Giving away money. You could take $1,000 or $10,000 potentially from a taxable source like an IRA and still pay 0% tax.
Right.
So you want to make sure you're capitalizing on that full standard deduction and those lower tax rates in those years.
So I ask you as a listener, what kind of advice are you getting from a tax professional, a financial advisor, yourself, the software that you're using, whatever it might be, to make sure that you're drawing money from the proper sources to give you the income you need while minimizing your tax liability? It's something we take great pride in here. We do not prepare taxes at Friedman Financial, but we do a lot of tax planning and we can run a variety of scenarios for you. And people find it incredibly helpful. Now, that does not mean that we're committing to one strategy forever. It's very common that there are times when we have to do a different strategy each year. And that's where we meet and we look at your tax return. We meet with you. We talk about everything. Yeah, the investments is certainly something that we're going to provide you advice on. But I hope you're getting from today's show that while investments are important, it's only a slice in what I call the financial planning pie. You got to address all of the other stuff. And that's what we're talking about today.
Absolutely. All those questions that retirees are not asking before they begin their retirement.
Yeah. So we've got a minute or so left. I want to remind you about something else that's going on that we offer is our free weekly newsletter. It comes out each and every Friday. It lands in your inbox at 10:30 in the morning. We've been doing this for more than 10 years. Hard to believe that we've been writing our own newsletter. We've actually had a newsletter for about 20 years or so. The newsletter prior to the one that we send out electronically was one that we used to write in-house, and we would mail it out once a quarter. And
you have to lick all those envelopes, Mark?
Well, you know what? I did. And my kids would hate me because once a quarter, we would bring home all of the newsletters. And they were, the newsletter was called Managing Your Expectations. We would fold it. The kids would put stickers on them to keep them sealed, those little round stickers.
Sure.
Then they put a mailing label on and stick the stamp on. Well, I left home. Interesting story before we go to a break. Is one year, I just said, you know what, the kids will just do it. Laura and I will go out for dinner and they'll take care of it. Well, I go home and I realize half of the newsletters have stamps in the wrong spot. The kids just put them anywhere they felt like it. And then I find a bunch of stamps in the trash. I said, why are there stamps in the trash? They said, well, some of the stickers ripped. They just saw them as stickers. So they threw them away. And so I'm glad that we have found a new way to do our newsletter, sending it electronically. Look, funny thing is, go ahead and ask your kids or your grandkids, if they're young, ask them to address an envelope for you. They won't know where to put the address, they won't know where to put the return address, and they won't know where to put the stamp. That's just a challenge for your grandchildren this weekend. If you happen to run into them, ask them. You'll get a kick out of that. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we're back, more questions that retirees are asking, provided to you by Christian Karcher, our Director of Financial Planning, and yours truly. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hi, this is Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial. With all that's gone on over the past couple years, perhaps retirement is sounding pretty good. But how can you focus on the future when you're so busy juggling the day-to-day? It's time for a real plan, a plan you can define, a plan you can track, and a plan you can modify as things change. At Friedman Financial, that's what we do. We know that planning for your retirement can be overwhelming, but with more than 50 years of experience, we know what you're going through. We're experienced and we're fiduciaries. We listen and we collaborate with your best interests in mind. You don't have to do this alone anymore. Turn to us for answers to your why, how, and what if questions. If now is the time to get serious about your retirement, please give us a call. We're Friedman Financial of Peabody. Financial advice in a language you can understand.
Visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com.
Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA, and SIPC.
Good morning and welcome back to Dollars and Cents on 104.9. My name is Christian Karcher. I'm the Director of Financial Planning at Friedman Financial. That's just across the street from Macy's at the North Shore Mall. I'm here this morning with Mark Friedman, your usual host, and we're talking about questions that retirees forget to ask and they oftentimes should ask before they retire. Mark, good morning.
Good morning. There are a lot of questions and we've just been just easily just rolling out questions. I mean, we could do this for hours.
Oh my God,
I could do this. Yeah, for weeks, for months. I mean, there's so many questions, and you know, I'm excited about the fact that we've been doing this for so long that I feel like we're now at the point in our business cycle where, you know, any business that starts up, first thing you're doing when you're in a business, you're learning and you're building knowledge about your business. The second phase of any business is you build some experiences. You've made some mistakes, you learn from it, you have some experiences. But after a while, you take all of those collective experiences and you now have wisdom. And I believe that our office is in a place right now where wisdom is what really drives this office. It's why people feel so comfortable working with us, because we're not starting from scratch. And one of the places that we never thought we'd be expert in is the world of death.
Absolutely.
I mean, my dad started the business in 1968. And as you can well imagine, people die over time. And we have a 99.5% retention rate here at Friedman Financial. So as people get older, they sadly die. And over the past few years, we've averaged 10 to 12 deaths a year. And now we're averaging even more than that. We're already at what?
I think about 15 this year.
Already this year. And here we are approaching May. I mean, it's crazy how many deaths we've had. So we've learned a lot. But what we've also learned is that many people, the surviving spouses, the heirs, assorted people that are connected to the family, have lots of questions. And many of the issues that they think they understand about death is very different from what the reality is. So maybe you can help us with that, Christian.
Right. So, I mean, going back to our theme of questions retirees forget to ask, one of them is, well, what happens to my financial life when I pass away? So that's one question that a lot of retirees say, you know, I'm retiring. I want to go travel. I want to go do all this stuff. The last thing I want to think about is the fact that I might pass away. And so one of those questions is just asking, you know, what do I have set up currently? And one of the things we often see with people who are pre-retirees or people right around that age band is they might have, if they do, they might have some estate planning documents that they decided to draft, you know, 15, 20 years ago when they had young children. And they said, you know, we have to get these estate planning documents written so that we know who takes care of the children if we both pass away. And so you start reviewing those documents and you realize, you know, we don't really need the guardianship piece anymore. We don't need a special trust because now I have adult children who I trust to take care of this money if I were to pass away. So how do we need to update these documents to make sure that our wishes are fulfilled?
Yeah, it's really interesting. And, you know, many people used to think years ago that the will would take care of everything. And, you know, generations before, the only asset people had after someone died was the value of the house and money in the bank. Because besides that, you had a pension and Social Security. And so you would agonize with your spouse and think about, how do I want the money divvied up? And maybe you just simply say, I want it split up equally amongst my children. But then you might also have a section in your will you say, I want $5,000 to go to the church. I want $1,000 to go to my favorite waiter at the hardcover restaurant. Or I want, you might list all these different things, or some money to nephews and nieces and all that kind of stuff. And you spend so much time arguing, should we give this amount to this person and this amount to that person? Well, folks, the big reality check is that most people will find that the listings in the will never get fulfilled. What? The listings in the will never get fulfilled? Yeah, because why, Christian?
Well, so that will only takes effect once all of the other accounts have been distributed by whatever beneficiary designation is on it. So if you have an IRA or a 401k, those have listed beneficiaries.
An insurance policy.
All of those will go to the beneficiaries before we ever even look at the will. And so oftentimes what's left that can go in the will, you might even have your house in a trust, and all of a sudden it's the $10,000 you have in your savings account and you have $40,000 of bequests over here, and you're not able to fulfill all of them.
Yeah, it is a surprise to a lot of people. The other thing, we just had an instance this week where someone called me up. She told me that her father had passed away, and she was struggling with some family issues, and she wanted to make sure that she still had power of attorney to make sure that the decisions were being made appropriately for her father's assets. And I told her, I said, well, at dad's death, the power of attorney dies with him. And she says, what do you mean? The attorney never told me that the power of attorney would die with him. I said, well, your power of attorney gives you authorization to act on behalf of your father while he's living. But the day he dies, his estate and his estate planning documents rule the day. Now, you may be the executor of that estate. You may be the trustee of his trust. But under the guidelines of the power of attorney, that ends. And it's a very interesting process. I can't tell you how many wakes I've gone to, or funerals that I've gone to, where the children pull me aside. They know that I'm mom or dad's financial advisor. And they pull me aside and they say, can we come by this afternoon so we can get our share of mom's estate? And it's really not that simple, folks. First of all, it's horrible that they even do that. But it happens all the time, does it not?
It does happen all the time, unfortunately.
Yeah. there are some that need it more than others. But the expectations that people have of how long some things can take, what the process is, what happens, how people need to be communicated to, is really surprising. So what are some of the other questions that retirees should be asking to ease this?
So I think the best thing to ask is to say, okay, so how do I have a – this is a question that you might ask a financial advisor or an office like ours. You know, how do I have these conversations with my kids so that they understand what those next steps will be? A lot of people say, you know, I worked really hard for all this money. If I pass away prematurely and I leave $1 million to my children, I'm concerned about how that will affect their lives. Because, you know, you might get a lottery syndrome where they go and spend way over their means and end up destitute later on because for a while they were just living off of what you had inherited. And so having those conversations with the entire family where you are explaining, okay, this is what's going to happen after I pass, or this is how I want my money divided, this is how I want the stuff in the house divided. Having those conversations is important. And one of the questions I think all retirees should be asking is, you know, what do I want to have happen to my money? And how do I effectively communicate that to the people who will eventually receive that money or those items or whatever it is?
You know, interesting. We had another situation a couple weeks ago where some family members were thinking about how do they deal with mom and dad's estate and planning it all through. And there's of course, assets, like the investment assets. Then there's the tangible stuff, the couch, the grandfather clock, the jewelry, all that kind of stuff. Mm. Do we list that? Do we have a conversation with the kids beforehand so everybody knows? We have one client who actually has red dots and green dots on all of their stuff so that it's very clear which child is getting each of the items when they die. Pretty interesting approach. But here's what was really interesting. Recently, we found out that there was one family where it was decided that the mother had passed away, the father is alive, and he decided that he wanted to leave the house. He just mentioned it to the kids, I want to leave my house to my son. And then everything else can be divvied up however we want, but I want to leave my house to my son. And all the kids understood it and figured it all out. Well, the father dies, And it was clear that, you know, we had thought that the son was going to get this money. And what we realized was the house isn't owned by the father. In 2001, several years ago, almost 20 years ago, they decided to put the house in the name of a trust. And the trust named beneficiaries, which were all of the kids. And just because the father had decided, the father had totally forgotten, apparently, that he'd put it into a trust. It was just in his name. And so the child who assumed he would be getting a house got a quarter of the house. And that created all sorts of turmoil because the kids didn't understand that the estate planning documents, the trust, the will, would supersede what dad and the kids had talked about just a few months prior.
Absolutely.
So it's very important that you ask the right questions, that you get support from an attorney, from a financial advisor, from your accountant to make sure that your estate documents are aligned properly.
Absolutely.
All right, we got to wrap things up, Christian. We got about a minute and a half left. Any final thoughts you'd like to share before we head out of here today?
If you at home think of any questions that you think other if you're a retired person and said, you know what, I should have asked this 5 years ago before I retired, feel free to shoot us a message. You can use the little message thing at the bottom of FriedmanFinancial.com while you're signing up for our newsletter and just shoot the message over, and maybe we can talk about it on another episode of Dollars and Cents.
Absolutely. If now's the time for you to get serious about your financial planning or investment management needs, or you have any questions as they relate to financial planning, please give our office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or go to our website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page on the website. You can always sign up for our newsletter by putting in your name and your email address. There's also a tab on the Friedman Financial website that says, get to know Friedman Financial. Learn more about us. You'll learn about our fees, our charges, how the process of our financial planning approach, our investment style, who the people are that are affiliated with us, and how we get to know you, and why we've been so successful with working with people who are 50 plus, for the most part, searching to become retirees or are already retirees. We're here to help. We're here to listen. It's always a pleasure to be here each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. I'm going to toss the microphone over to Scott Whitley over at Wicked Bites Radio. Scott's got all sorts of great ideas lined up for you, great restaurants to visit, food to taste. We're out of here. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risk, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.